I know we stopped reading bills until after we passed them, but if you're one of the few people that bothered to filter through the more than 1,100 pages of tax cuts, spending priorities, and budgetary cuts in that one big beautiful bill, then you'd notice a strange provision. It says, quote, "No state or political subdivision thereof may enforce any law or regulation regulating artificial intelligence models, artificial intelligence systems, or automated decision systems during the 10-year period beginning on the date of the enactment of this act." In case you don't know, artificial intelligence technology allows computers and machines to simulate human intelligence and problem-solving tasks. The ideal characteristic of artificial intelligence is its ability to rationalize and take action to achieve a specific goal. Since Representative Thomas Massie is one of the few politicians with more than a single-digit IQ, he managed to not only read the bill, but also find this little nugget. As he points out, this would, quote, "make it easier for corporations to get zoning variances so massive AI data centers could be built in close proximity to residential areas." But is this a reality? Is the demand for AI data centers that pressing? Yes, the use of AI is accelerating at an exceptionally fast rate, especially given the emergence of generative AI. That's the type of AI that creates original content in response to a user's prompt or request. Think of Grok on Twitter. This accounts for 40% of the demand for data centers. According to analysis by McKinsey & Company, current trends suggest that global demand for data center capacity could rise at an annual rate between 19 and 27% from 2023 to 2030 to reach an annual demand of 171 to 298 gigawatts. They suggest that the low to midpoint range is the most likely scenario. So what does this look like? Well, to avoid a deficit, at least twice the data center capacity built since 2000 would have to be built in less than a quarter of the time. Estimating AI data center capacity is hard, given many variables and unknowns. But to put it in perspective, even if all currently known plans are delivered on time, there could still be a data center supply deficit of more than 15 gigawatts in the United States by 2030. Since latency and network issues are less important in the beginning stages of creating an AI model, data centers can be built in more remote locations, such as Indiana, Iowa, and Wyoming. In these locations, power is still abundant and grids are less strained. Eventually, a lack of adequate power transmission infrastructure becomes a bigger issue in these remote areas and will become a concern as demand grows. And once the AI models are put into operation fully, these locations will cease to be as effective. But for now, they're gold mines. Currently, there are AI data centers in more than half the country. So, AI is in desperate need of a place to house their data centers. A provision that would free AI companies from regulation would be a huge boon to the industry. And remember, this ban on states and communities from regulating them would last for 10 years. But why is this even in a budget bill, and why would President Trump even care about it? Well, that's a simple answer. Peter Thiel. He's the puppet master behind J.D. Vance. Thiel created, shaped, mentored, and pumped millions of dollars into his political career, leading Vance right into his position on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. For more on this, check out the video on the card in the upper right corner. And you see, Peter Thiel is a top dog in the field of AI. He co-founded Palantir, an AI company that scored millions of dollars in defense contracts. Thiel was an early investor in OpenAI. Thiel is also an investor in Anduril Industries, which specializes in autonomous military drones and AI-driven defense system. Anduril has also received millions in defense contracts. And through Thiel's Founders Fund, he's invested $85 million into open-source AI platform Sentient. Peter Thiel also has ties to David Sacks, the AI and crypto czar under Trump. Sacks was the CEO of PayPal, which Peter Thiel co-founded in the 90s. Peter Thiel also has ties to White House advisor Stephen Miller. The connection isn't corporate, but it's financial. Thiel has pumped money into organizations that Miller has advised, allowing their money and ideology to shape public policy. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, Peter Thiel is the one really running the White House. Trump merely lives there. Okay, so AI is growing at a fast pace and in need of a lot of space. Peter Thiel is heavily invested in AI and has considerable influence over the Trump administration. But should you care about the government coddling the AI industry? Is it bad for Americans? The answer to both of those questions, if you ask me, is yes. This is more than just money flowing back and forth between politicians and their benefactors. AI is a dangerous force that will do more than swallow up your tax dollars. It will swallow you whole as a person. AI is more than typing in a prompt and getting it to create a song, image, video, or write your term paper for you. There's an evil lurking inside of it. As Brookings Institution notes, quote, "Concerns around privacy, safety, and security have grown as the technology is used to analyze confidential material and amplify false narratives as part of disinformation campaigns. Due to its scalability and capacity to examine large data sets, it can study people's behavior and act on that information." Let's take a moment and look abroad so we can see how AI can be used in a draconian method. In China, AI is used to surveil its population. When paired with, quote, "social media monitoring, cameras, and facial recognition, that technology enables authorities to track dissidents and government critics and identify their statements and locations. There is infrastructure in place that can integrate information from a variety of sources and analyze it in real time for government authorities." Do you want the government knowing everything you think and do and combine that into one massive database to track you? I don't. But we're already acquiring the nefarious side of AI here in the U.S. As Brookings Institution notes, quote, "Reports have surfaced about potential abuses in the U.S., including government contracts that may enable the Department of Homeland Security to monitor social media. According to the Politico Digital Future newsletter, the contractors advertise their ability to scan through millions of posts and use AI to summarize their findings for their clients." Maybe MAGA is okay with it for now since Trump is in control and he's going after his critics and his opponents. But what happens when a different president is elected, perhaps a Democrat, and then he goes after MAGA or conservatives or Christians? It won't be so much fun then, will it? The Department of Homeland Security has admitted to using digital tools to analyze social media posts from people applying for visas or green cards. The software simply searches for any signs of extremist rhetoric or anti-Semitic activity. Many people have had concerns about how these terms are defined and how they would be applied. If you criticize the wrong country, would you be labeled a terrorist sympathizer? Sources have told Reuters that, quote, "some EPA managers were told by Trump appointees that Musk's team is rolling out AI to monitor workers, including looking for language and communications considered hostile to Trump or Musk." The EPA denies this, calling it categorically false, and it's not like the EPA would ever lie to us, right? It's not just the American government that's getting into surveillance. Some U.S. companies are already engaging in workplace surveillance of their employees for business purposes. With no national privacy legislation, employers are pretty much free to do what they want. They don't even have to notify or disclose to their employees that they're monitoring them. Some companies are tracking keystrokes and facial expressions to see what people are doing and, of course, to identify who is underperforming. And in most states, these types of practices are legal. So what happens when government agencies use AI or facial recognition to spy on people and monitor their public statements or their social media posts on a large scale? What if someone says something critical of a public official? Will they face punishment? Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, it's possible, but this is really starting to sound like some tinfoil hat society stuff. The government would never do that. It's unconstitutional. It violates our liberty, our freedom. And besides, they'd have to get the data on us first before they could do anything, and they're nowhere near close to getting all of that information. Well, let me tell you this. We're already there. Last week, Trump tapped Palantir to create a master database on every American. In case you were wondering, that was a nearly $800 million contract that Palantir scored. And if you dig a little deeper, you'll find that Palantir already has their hands in your data. Palantir's Foundry tool is already being used at the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health and Human Services, and two other agencies as a method of compiling data. Palantir is reportedly in talks with the Social Security Administration and the Internal Revenue Service in hopes they'll purchase and use the Foundry tool as well. The compiling of all this information began under DOGE. It sought to compile data from, of course, the IRS, Social Security Administration, Selective Service, and Medicare, just to name a few. Some of those data compiling methods were blocked by courts, others were not. So the next time you see a big media splash, remember, you're probably being hoodwinked. While everyone was cheering DOGE cuts, the government was using it as cover to consolidate data that they have about you. And then this past week, while everyone was paying attention to Trump and Elon Musk's catfight, It was announced that the government, with the help of Palantir, is compiling a database on every American. You see, this is the thing about public policy. The biggest threats aren't the ones the media talks about. People are arguing over Medicaid cuts while ignoring the 1984 nightmare being built in this very bill. Ever since 9/11 and the Patriot Act, the government has been trying to track, trace, snoop, and spy on you. Americans have just ignored it. Fast forward, and with the help of AI, we can be profiled and counted as a data point in a big government database with the help of Palantir. People weren't even thinking of AI in 2001, and look where we are now. And if you need another reason to be scared of Palantir, let me turn your attention to researcher and writer Whitney Webb, who summed it up very succinctly in a Twitter post. She says, quote, "Palantir is not just a military contractor. It was a company created to privatize and house the Bush-era neocon-run surveillance program, Total Information Awareness Program, housed previously at DARPA, and put it under increased CIA control, though the CIA was also intimately involved with TIA. TIA was shut down by Congress because it would have eradicated the constitutional right to privacy, but Palantir has accomplished that and gotten away with it because it is a private sector entity. Palantir's earliest funder, besides Peter Thiel, the CIA. Palantir's first client for its first several years as a company, the CIA. Where did Palantir engineers go every 2 weeks for years for guidance in developing their products? CIA headquarters. Palantir's originally intended clients per CEO Alex Karp, the CIA. If there ever was a CIA front company, it's Palantir, though Peter Thiel has since quipped that the CIA is a front for Palantir. This nasty little nanny state that's being created is closer than we think to getting put in action. The database is already being built. When you turn a blind eye to the surveillance Death Star that's been getting built over 2 decades, don't be shocked when Darth Vader comes to rule. Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.